The premier high school football team in Washington, the Bellevue Wolverines, has been in the spotlight after an investigation found the team has been flouting recruiting rules. But there's a bigger question at play here. Why do American high schools put such a big emphasis on sports programs in the first place? Journalist Amanda Ripley writes about education. She says the U.S. is the only country that puts such an emphasis on sports in school, and that sends the wrong message.
Increasingly, as the world and the economy has changed, kids need to be able to do critical thinking and math, reading and science at a higher level than they ever did before in order to have a decent job and a good life. So when you send a message to kids, intentionally or not, that the most exciting, important thing they do is on a football field or basketball court, that eventually they find out that's not true. They eventually find out that for the vast majority of kids, it will not pay for their college tuition. It will not get them a job. And so there's kind of a disconnect between the messages we send to kids and the reality of the world today. And you don't want them to find that out when they're 22. You know, you want them to find out how important math will be to their lives when they're like 12, you know, not 22.
So you'd like to get rid of sports in school or just change the messaging so we act just as excited about the academics as we do on game day when soccer players are wearing their pajamas?
I think we should dial it back. I don't think we should get rid of sports altogether. I don't think that's realistic. I think kids would hate it. But I think we should dial it back, put it in line in the actual relevance it will have in kids' lives so that the things we say to kids about what matters actually line up with the way their days and lives look. So the first step is to really take a cold, hard look at the messages we send to kids. You know, if you're able to miss math class to go play a volleyball game, then that sends a message. If your science teacher leaves to go coach the basketball game during the day, that sends a message. All of these things add up. They distract kids. They distract teachers. Principals in the United States spend two-thirds of their days sometimes dealing with issues related to athletics. That is not something that principals in other countries do. It is hard enough to teach and to run a school at a high level. So this kind of constant distraction is something we should first take account of, be aware of, and then consider whether it actually makes sense.
What evidence do you have that sports distraction actually hurts academics?
Well, you know, there's not been a lot of research on it, but the research we do have is pretty intriguing. A couple of things that come to mind. The first one is there was a big study of what happened to kids' grades as football teams did better and worse. And what they found is that for the students, especially the male students at the university, their grades did significantly worse, even the ones who weren't playing football, as the football team did better. So as the football team won more games, they slacked off on academics. So that's one data point. Another one, I spent some time at a small town in Texas that had actually suspended sports for a year because it was in real trouble financially and academically, and they decided that they had to just reboot everything. And so they stopped football and all their other major sports, and it was a real shock to the system. As you can imagine, the kids hated it. But what they noticed is that fall without football, 80% of the students passed their classes compared with 50% the previous fall. And, you know, they had made other changes too, so it's hard to say if that was a direct result of sports going away, but anecdotally, the students did say they had a lot more time to focus on homework. The place seemed much more academically centered than it did when football was part of life.
I would have thought maybe school sports and the spirit days and all that stuff fosters a kind of togetherness at school and some levity, that it's not so super serious, that maybe it makes school less of a drag for people, whether you play or not.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, this is the complexity of it, right? Like, I think you're right. There are real positives to that. But I think it's about order of importance, right? Like, everybody has a fixed amount of time and attention and money. And so it's about keeping it always secondary. And one example of that would be some schools have started to do things like only join athletic leagues that compete within the county so they don't have to fly kids or transport kids out of state. There's some common sense things that schools can do, or they have rules like you can never miss class for an athletic event. So I think as we demand more and more of schools and of kids and of principals and teachers, we just ought to take a look at what is reasonable and what lines up with the lives kids are likely to have.
Let's talk about money, Amanda. We have money troubles here in Washington State, struggling to fund education properly, and we've got issues with teacher pay and training. So how would downplaying the influence of sports affect the financing of education?
What you find typically is that high schools are spending 2 to 3 or even 4 times per football player than they are spending per math student. So this is an important thing to just know, first of all, right? And football in particular tends to be the most expensive sport. And again, it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It doesn't mean that you should get rid of all sports in one fell swoop, but you should at least know what the trade-off is. In the case of Fremont, Texas, a small town that canceled sports for a year, they found they saved about $150,000 when they suspended sports, so they could use that money to, for 1 year, to hire a teacher, which they needed desperately. So it's important to at least know what you're spending and then decide if it lines up with what kind of place you want to be.
Okay, so Amanda, let's say a high school, a community, they love their sports, but they can see your points that there are downsides the way it's happening. What's your advice? Where do we start?
If you want to right-size sports as a community, the first place to start is by asking students how to do it, including athletes. So you have to involve them in this conversation and seriously listen to what they have to say, or else they're going to feel robbed of what has become an entitlement for American kids. Like, they really, truly believe, understandably, that playing football under the lights on Friday nights is like a God-given human right, right? And so you cannot take it away without their input. So you have to sit them down and talk to them and say, look, we want to put this in line with reality. Like, you're facing a very competitive job market. You're facing a very different world than we faced when we were your age. How can we make sure that sports aren't usurping academics? What are the ways that we can do that? And really let the students lead that conversation and listen to their ideas, because ultimately they're the ones who are going to be most affected either way. You know, whether we dial back sports or not, I can't tell you how many 25-year-olds I have met who said they wished they knew then what they know now about what the job market and college actually value compared to what they learned in high school.
Journalist Amanda Ripley wrote in The Atlantic about what happens when American high schools prioritize sports over academics. Her piece is called The Case Against High School Sports.